Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders brought to you by our good friends at Band of Coders. Stone, how you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. I'm doing well. You know, it's been a while since I've been behind the board, but this is kind of fun. I'll let you know when I figure out what these knobs on the third
Yeah, we'll decide if it was fun for the rest of us.
Yeah, we'll make that judgment post-show. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Well, this is going to be a fantastic segment. We have some new friends and some old friends in the studio. A little bit later in the program, we are going to get a chance to visit with Indra Datagupta. She's the founder and president and CEO. I didn't ask her how to pronounce her company's name. I'm going to say Zyverti.
Zyverti.
Which is exactly what I meant to say. But first up, on Atlanta Technology Leaders this afternoon, we have with us product manager with Sage North America, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone. Please join me in welcoming back to the studio Mr. Mike Savory. How you doing, man?
Thank you, sir. Very good. Yourselves? Good to be with you guys again.
Now, Sage, you guys have been around for a while. You're not an American company, though, are you?
We are not. So it was started in Northern England and where we are still headquartered. But North America represents about half the company.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Now, for the listeners that aren't familiar, I'm sure there's a handful. What does Sage, what service do you provide?
Oh, there's a long list. So we are, you know, we've been around, like you say, for more than 30 years, and we are one of the leading providers of business management software and services to small to medium-sized businesses. So everything from accounting to ERP to HR and payroll, payment services.
Anywhere money's around, you guys
you got it,
tend
exactly.
to get involved.
Right? Where Mike congregates.
That's right.
But you have a product called Sage One. Is that a new product?
We do. So, yeah, I mean, we're located in about 24 countries, you know, all over the globe. But locally here, our campus is up in Lawrenceville, and we there are focused primarily on small business. And so we have some products that we develop there, including Sage One, which is the one that I'm involved with.
And Sage One, how do you delineate between small business, small to mid-sized business? Everybody seems to have a different definition of that.
You're exactly right. I mean, that's a challenge, right? Because we don't want to segment businesses based purely on the number of employees, which is sort of the traditional way to do it.
So it's not height. Revenue. You're not going by height.
Height, no. But we haven't found where that has a bearing on your accounting yet, but we'll see. No, it really has to do with the stage that your business is in its life cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you are a startup, your needs are going to be quite different than if you're an established business that's been in play for a few years. And so we are, Sage One is focused more on the lower end. So entrepreneurs, startups, small businesses, small but growing businesses, and I mean, what are they most concerned with?
Sales, selling, staying alive.
Exactly.
Not running out of cash.
That's right. So they're not digging too deep into the financial statements at this point yet, but they need to get invoices out. They need to get paid, and that's what our product does, is make that happen faster.
So now I'm curious about the invoicing component of this, and that seems to be something you guys are very proud of. It's prominent all over the website.
Right.
How do you guys help a company with their invoicing?
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes I think you could take invoicing for granted. You could assume that small businesses know how to invoice customers.
Well, I thought you just go to, like, you know, your word processor and type an invoice.
Exactly. You get one of those carbon copy yellow pads, right, and you write it out. What's the problem?
I think yours is more... there's more to it than that.
A little more sophisticated.
There certainly can be. I mean, so we've spent a lot of time with small business owners just watching the problems that they face and figuring out solutions. And there's still a lot of manual processes in a small business just mm-hmm. to complete something like invoicing.
Right.
Plenty of use of Word and Excel and even paper. And so we suggest that there's an easier, faster way so you can check invoicing off of your to-do list and get on with the business at hand.
So when you did your research, what did you like? How much time are they spending on invoicing?
Oh, they're spending a tremendous amount of time I'm thinking of several customers that we went out and visited and sat and watched them with several.
So you just stood behind them, like with a video camera or something?
We did. It was all perfectly legal. And so we watched them as they would, you know, copy and paste data from one application to the next.
Right.
And that was just to get the invoice out. And the other part of it, of course, is that you need to track who paid you and who hasn't paid you, more importantly. And that was often done very manually as well. And so some people would simply, or they at least claimed that they remembered who paid them and who didn't.
They remember. That's a good system,
we
right?
We had our doubts. That's right. Not accountants are not the biggest fan of that method, but others, you know, wrote it on a whiteboard or on a scratch pad. And so the point was that it was being done in these disparate tools that weren't connected or talking to each other. Not only did it cause lots of manual work, but it was prone to error.
So I got to ask about the selling aspect of this, because in my experience in a former life selling a little bit of training and consulting, sometimes it was almost easier to get to a decision maker in a large established organization than it was to get to that small business owner. They either really are busy or they like to think that they're busy. How do you even get to have like conversations with these people?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, yeah? And you've hit on an issue that we have. And we, in fact, we've got a great staff of customer service reps and support reps on the phones. And they have actually come in on Saturdays to make calls out, because that's the only time that we can get a hold of small business owners, because they're very busy, obviously, like you said, during the week. But you're right. Is sometimes in larger businesses, you have people who are dedicated to specific roles. And so they may be in the accounts payable department, and they recognize the value of that role, and they recognize what tools they need. Whereas we may deal with small business owners who wear many hats and are just simply looking, again, to get the invoices out, to get paid. And not only do they not have time to talk to us, but they don't have time to talk about switching to a new accounting solution.
Right.
So the challenge for us as architects and designers of software is to make it very, very easy for them to get up and running with the product and make it easy on an ongoing basis.
Now, is this software as a service?
It is. So it's all online, web-based. Yeah.
So then, but you actually have people that are charged with this customer support. Like, it isn't
sure.
a do-it-yourself where they just, you know, find it online and then just click a button and then they... you freemium them to purchase something?
Yeah, I mean, some people do it that way. But, I mean, that's a differentiator for us is, and it comes from, you know, us having so much experience over the past 30 years in knowing small businesses and what they need. We have a staff of support reps. We have a staff of sales reps. We have people who believe it or not, answer this thing called a phone. And so you
really?
Can, yeah. It's interesting.
That's
so,
handy.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can
There's
call
plenty of software as a service companies that don't have a phone.
They have an email address.
Yes.
And they sometimes...
Or maybe a live chat window if you're lucky.
Right, right. But no, I mean, people still prefer to use the phone. You pick it up and get a quick answer faster than you can via email
right.
or chat. So, yeah.
And, so you're a little old school.
Well, in that respect, when it comes to service, we are, certainly. But, you know, it's all backed up by new school technology.
Right, so they're getting the best of both worlds.
Right, right.
And so how is the pain, like if a person is using a different accounting system or no accounting system, how do you mitigate some of that anxiety and fear to switch to Sage?
Yeah, and there is anxiety and fear when it comes to even a discussion about accounting software,
just
right?
Just discussing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
just those two words together. Or, yeah,
right. We sometimes lose them at that point. We need to back up a little bit. Yeah, I mean, so we deal with a lot of what we will call non-consumers, which basically means a small business owner who is not currently using a formal bookkeeping or accounting product.
What percentage of your clients are that?
It's quite a large percent. It depends on how you segment it, but in our experience, it's been more than half. Now, they are oftentimes using, again, Excel, maybe, and they will refer to that as their accounting software, but
right.
we're talking about a dedicated type accounting package.
Are they not using, like, the envelope system?
Yeah, they may be, the envelope system. It may be even more basic than that. But, yeah, I mean, in answer to your question, there's two challenges there. One is the technology side of it, just simply getting them acclimated with the product and feeling
right.
comfortable that they could use it, but also introducing accounting concepts. So we certainly make the product easy to use, and we use plain English to describe it, but we also want to help educate them, because when it comes time that they have an ongoing relationship with an accountant, the accountant is going to expect certain things. And so we want to help elevate their business a little bit to be able to meet those demands.
So education is an important component.
It is.
And that's something that you put a body on. This isn't something that you expect the client to rely just on online resources.
Correct. Yeah. We have we do have online resources, but again, we have people on the phone that can just answer those questions.
So with the product line or suite like Sage 1, is there a Sage 2 and a Sage 3 and a Sage 4?
Do you graduate?
Or that modularity or whatever, that capacity.
Can I level up to Sage 2?
Level up. I like that. Pass that on to our marketing folks. As an organization, we have solutions for all stages of business, up into large mid-market size businesses. As far as Sage 1, though, again, it is, like you said, an online web-based product. And so we've been out in the market for about 2 years now, and we're seeing that businesses who are using our product, guess what, are growing, and they need more sophisticated solutions as they grow. And so, yeah, we are working on the next phase of the product so that as you grow and you discover that, hey, you know what, I'm at a at a phase where I'm not just reactive, I'm not just putting in numbers, I need to actually turn that data into information that I can use to make decisions. And so that's the next phase for the product.
Can you use it to forecast?
That's something that will be in that future version. And again, you hit on exactly a good example where right now a small business owner may be recording income and expenses, they're producing invoices, they're making sure that that they've got enough cash in the bank. But going forward, they're going to want to plan, right? And so they're going to want to look at cash flow forecasting. They're going to want to get a little bit more predictable about revenue. They're going to be able to produce financial statements and the types of documents that banks will look for when they look for loans and that sort of thing.
Right.
Well, that's the key right there, or a key for me, I think, is because I would think potential investors, they're going to do their due diligence. Banks are certainly going to be conservative, and they're going to be a lot quicker to loan me money or have that conversation with me if I've got a set of Sage 1 books as opposed to Grandpa's ledger book, right?
Correct, right. And so we're not asking for our customers to become full-fledged accountants by any means. We provide tools that allow them to do those types of things you're talking about. We also have an accountant's edition of the product. So one of our customers can invite their accountant to peek into their books, be able to log in to the same application,
nice.
Make adjusting entries, run reports, and support them in that way so that they can sort of outsource some of that part of their business.
That's what we would do, probably. If an accountant asked us a question, we would say, here's the password to my Sage 1 books.
That's right. Go find
it. You just whatever you need.
So now, is that an additional fee to permission your accountant in?
It's not.
So that's just included as part of
it's free for the accountant. Sage has a huge network of accountants who are affiliated with the company. And so you can just go to our website and look up an accountant in your area, and they can begin using the accountant's edition and plug in today.
Now, what are some of your challenges being the product manager for Sage 1 of getting the word out for this kind of difficult-to-reach community of people who are very busy doing what they do every day?
Sure. So we touched on just making contact, right? So that can be a challenge. But also discovering what the needs are. So when your experience is in using manual systems, or you use Excel, or maybe you don't have formal accounting experience, we first need to know what language to speak. We need to know what problems you face. And that doesn't come just by asking in the form of a survey, because as the old adage go, you don't know what you need until you see it. And so we need to do other types of research, which includes testing in our lab. We have a usability lab. In fact, we just did a test a couple weeks ago. And it had some interesting findings where we watched people walk through our product, and they talked out loud about what they were experiencing, what they thought of the terms that we used, and we saw them stumble over some parts that we would never have known about otherwise. And we can go about fixing those and deploying those very quickly.
So now when a person starts from, like, say they don't have an accounting software that they've changed to, but they're starting from scratch, and they start using it, what are some of the things that they all of a sudden they get clarity to and they really appreciate that maybe they didn't think of,
Sure. Yeah, several come to mind. One, in fact, is a fairly basic thing, like categorizing your expenses. So what did I spend money on? And this is something that...
credit card.
Yeah.
Big credit card.
Right.
I spend a lot on my credit card.
A big number that says credit card. So that's one of the issues that accountants
have. Right, but then you can help them kind of just narrow it down to exactly what that expense was.
Right, and exactly as you suggested, it's a new concept, and you might not think so, but something as simple as categorizing those, so for tax purposes, for planning purposes, you have that data available to you.
And then you're like, Bill goes out to eat a lot.
Yeah, a lot. I didn't realize that. What do they call that, the latte factor when you go to Starbucks too much? Yeah.
Is that so they might be seeing things for the first time. Right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And that's our job in the way that we produce the product, is to expose that to them, to identify trends and potential problems. Yeah.
Now, what's been the most rewarding thing for you working with this group?
It's got to be the customer interaction and just finding those problems and finding solutions for them. Again, we do lots of face-to-face visits with our customers. We get to know them. There was a woman, in fact, who was supposed to be here today, but wouldn't you know it, as a small business owner, she had other commitments.
That's right.
Other than me, which I just can't imagine. But
selling things usually is the most important thing.
Versus radio appearance. I don't know. So, but no, she's a small business owner in town, and she was going to share her experience. She'll actually be with us at our annual conference next week. Sage Summit, which is going to be in Las Vegas, which is a huge event and another opportunity to get to know our customers. And this is where we have already more than 5,000 people registered to attend a week-long event where we discuss solutions to business problems, basically.
And then so the end user actually attends this, or is this just internal Sage people?
Oh, it's internal Sage people. It's our customers. It's our accountants. It's our partners. And in the past, you know, it had been really known as a product-based event. So we talk about products and technical things and training, right, that sort of thing. And it's really been reimagined into something where we're elevating conversations of small businesses and we're finding solutions. It may be technical in nature. It may be software-based, but oftentimes it's not. And so we talk about solutions, anything from, you know, security in the cloud to how to stand out from your competition, all rolled up into one event.
So now when you're developing this kind of software, how do you kind of keep pushing the envelope and keep developing it? Is that happen in England, or is that they're taking your input here in America? Like, how does that work?
It's very local. One thing that we benefit from is building the product on, and without getting too technical, a global platform. And it's basically a set of technical components that let us build this product at the foundation. What that does is it lets us get a product out to market a lot quicker. It lets us benefit from basically a global team of developers and learn from other experiences. But it also gives us the freedom to develop something that's very local. So if we see that businesses in North America and the United States have unique needs, if there's legislative requirements, tax, currency, that sort of thing, we can build for those solutions but still take advantage of the global reach.
So at this summit, you'll have users and customers there as well? Well, the reason I'm asking is because I would think a great deal of innovation can come straight from the customer as well, right?
Absolutely. We have a lab set up at the conference where we can do this type of testing.
You guys like labs.
We do.
You're big on the lab thing.
It sounds a little creepy when I'm talking about it now, but it's really a useful tool because, again, you can send out all the surveys you want, and what people say and what they do is oftentimes very different.
Right.
But this is a great event for starting those conversations, for getting those ideas that we go back to the office with and build solutions for.
Now, it sounds like part of your secret sauce is this level of customer support and service that you offer as compared to some of the competitors in the space. Is that carry through in the summit, like where there's going to be a real chance for this kind of collaboration and interaction amongst business owners?
Yeah, and I think you could ask any attendee who had been to Sage Summit in past years, and after next week, you could ask them if there was a difference, and they would say, absolutely, there was. And one of the primary drivers for that difference is the feedback that we got from users, where they said, hey, you know, the product training and all the product-based stuff is great. We also want solutions for running our business in general, for solving these types of problems.
Where that's outside of the scope of Sage One, but you can be a facilitator and you can help them help themselves by kind of expanding their network of business owners, right?
That's right. That's right. And we have, you know, a top-tier set of speakers, Jessica Alba, Magic Johnson. We've got all of those will be streamed. The keynotes will be streamed on our site so people can benefit from them. But we also have, you know, rock stars that are less well-known, which are small business owners,
right,
who will share their experiences with other small business owners. And that's what it's all about.
Now, do you see that level of collaboration like kind of expanding the vision of Sage?
Certainly, yeah. And so there's that type of conversation that needs to occur to share experiences, problems, solutions. And then we look at, well, how can our tools and services facilitate that, even beyond a once-a-year conference? So we have a community on our site called Sage City where those conversations happen every day.
So you have stuff happening here in Atlanta?
We do, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, so we participate in local events. We, in addition to, you know, our research that we do, we sponsor local events.
Well, and the client that played hooky today, what we ought to do is on the other side of your summit, when you get back from Vegas, then we is it her?
Yes, she. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you guys ought to come in and give us kind of a post game report.
Is she
on the
going
Sun.
To Vegas?
That'd be great. Yeah, she will be in Vegas.
Yeah, she made time for that.
There you go. Hey, Vegas has got nothing on you guys. Trust me.
So I got to know before we wrap, what was it like when you were first onboarded at Sage? I'm trying to get kind of a little bit of an insight into the culture there, how they recruit and develop. And
yeah, I mean, it was a very different company. I've been with them for a long time, and it was very much, it continues to be very much an acquisition company. So Sage has acquired many leading providers of solutions in North America and around the world, really. So mm-hmm. it started to be this quilt of all these different acquired companies with their own unique cultures and their own unique tools and ways of doing things. And they've done a really good job of bringing us all together and sharing best practices and becoming really one Sage. And that's something that we've struggled with is brand recognition. So many small businesses will recognize that they've used individual products that we produce, but they won't recognize the Sage name. And I think that's changing where we're seeing, certainly in North America, we're getting better recognition as we have in Europe.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more?
Check out sageone.com. You can also take a look at sagesummit.com if you want to participate in those streaming webcasts of the keynotes next week. And I would love to check in with you guys after that.
And if they're here in Atlanta, do these events happen monthly, quarterly?
Yeah, check out, again, our site, sageone.com. They
you can
also
drill down to your city.
Yeah, and there's my contact information is on that site as well, so they can contact me directly if they have questions.
Well, and I know a topic for the next time we talk, I want to find out about resellers. I've got a buddy that I think is in an organization, and I think he spends some of his time like reselling what you do. Is that
possible?
Absolutely, yeah. We have resellers and affiliates. There's all kinds of opportunities.
Yeah, because I think he's going to this Vegas.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Thing
okay.
Would be my guess. We got lots to talk about.
Absolutely.
Are accountants resellers or they just are users?
They can be. I mean, in years past, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, it was different where they were more the software resellers, whereas now they focus on solutions and are less involved maybe in the technical space. And they're more, a lot of them are turning to more value based businesses. So, how can I provide value to you? Right. And that may include software and it may include service. Yeah.
All right. Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
We'd love to. You guys got free candy here on the table. Yeah. No
fantastic.
You earned it.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have with the CEO and president of Zaverty LLC. Please join me in welcoming to the show Miss Indra Datagupta. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, did you learn anything in that last segment?
Oh, it was awesome. I can relate to some of the challenges he's having with his business. And as a small business, I can understand when he says that it's very hard to get a hold of the person to do the sell.
That's right. Yeah. Well, why don't you share a little bit about your organization?
My organization is Zaverty LLC. I came up with the name by using an app because I'm a technology company.
So you went
so
to
I
an
used app to create, to name my company.
So what did you have to put into the app?
I put a bunch of Greek alphabets, some colors, and some other parameters, some animals, and that's what came up.
And then
up.
It just mixes them all together and makes a word?
It made a word, and that's what it is.
So does it mean anything, or this is just a combination of letters?
This is using technology to come up with my company
name. All right, and that's what is that what your company does?
Yes, we are an IT consulting company. We provide solutions and services. We do project management. Mm-hmm. We do system integration. We provide subject matter experts for our clients, and we are nationwide.
And what size clients do you typically work with?
Oh, we have we are all ex-IBMers. My team is all ex-IBMers and HP and Digital and Unisys. So we bring, our biggest client is IBM right now.
Wow, probably a coincidence, right?
Yeah, probably a coincidence, yes. Most of the stuff we are doing with IBM and IBM's clients, we are also partnered as the prime for IBM on VDI solutions, that is virtual desktop cloud computing.
Right, solutions. So if they have a client that has a challenge, they call you to help them get the most out of their IBM?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that you've also cracked the code on working with the government, which we could do an entire day of shows on that. But let's at least get some tips. Yes.
Yeah. Well, going down the federal route has been a very exciting and challenging opportunity for
me.
It's
because they're so quick moving, right? They're just speedy, make quick decisions, impulsive.
I'm going to actually write a book called The Game. Because that's what it is. Every day I wake up, I talk to people and I learn. And that's keeping me alive, I think. because it is so much, it's so interesting to me. I guess I have a tendency to learn and pick things up and see how the rest of the world is working. The commercial side has become very bluff to me, honestly. You know, I mean, IBM can only do so much.
Right.
But on the federal side, which is something new for me, I'm just having a blast.
Really? That's a really good attitude to work with the government.
Very positive.
People think I'm crazy. They really do. But I am really, and I must say this, that everybody I have spoken to, from contracting officers to prime people who are doing prime at the CDC, because that's one of my targets in town.
Right.
To the small business people, to GTPAC downtown, everybody has been so good and welcoming, and they're sharing the information in a way that I don't think I get that kind of a response on the commercial side. I hate to say
really?
That.
Really? So everybody's been nice and supportive.
And sharing information.
And sharing and collaborative.
Collaborative. The only challenge I have is that the information is too spread out.
Is it too siloed, like they don't talk to each other in different groups and departments?
Yes, it is very siloed.
So that's a challenge too,
that
right?
That is a challenge. So that's where the book is going to come
there
into play.
You go.
When I can collect all this information and say, okay. See, one of the things that I run into constantly on the federal side is, okay, do this, do this, do this.
And if you miss one little thing, you like got to go back to the beginning, right?
Yes, you have to start at the beginning. Plus, you have to complete that task. What they don't tell you is what not to do. So my list will be, do not do these things, because everybody's telling you what to do.
Right.
But nobody's telling you what not to do.
Right.
So that's where I think my...
Your
I'm
book
taking,
is going Are to, you really going to write a book? Because I think it would be very helpful.
I think I am, because I'm writing notes, taking extensive notes.
Now, is it frustrating from being a technologist to see kind of some of these inefficiencies at the federal level
yes.
like that? Like where you're in your head, you know that there's much more efficient ways to just have simple things happen.
Yes, that's a challenge, and then but they don't want to hear that from you.
Right.
You know, they don't want to hear that, okay, you know, you can come in and fix. You can't go in with that kind of an attitude and arrogance saying, you know, I know what I'm doing. Let me fix this for you.
So
you
how do they prefer to work?
Well, I haven't, you know, I'm a small business right now.
Right.
And the way they prefer to work is that they have contracting vehicles, right, through which the government purchases. The procurement process is very different.
Right.
So they have all these contracting vehicles out there. So first you have to get on those vehicles.
So you have to get on the list.
On the list. Once you get on the list, that there are, like any other place, it's very competitive.
Right, because you're not the only one on the list.
Not on the list. But getting on the list is part one.
And that's not easy by itself. That has its own challenges.
That's its own challenges. But I think one of the benefits you have, which is really great about this country, I must say, is that everybody gets an opportunity. Whether you're women-owned, whether you're service-disabled,
right.
whether you are classified or doing a business in a hub zone, which is an mm-hmm. area which the government is trying to
revitalize. Right.
So there are lots of programs out there. The challenge is for small business, like he mentioned, indicated, you don't have time.
Right. You don't have time to wait on them letting the contract sometimes,
yes.
right?
So the problem is knowing all these things and understanding what fits for you as a business. There are a lot of people that will tell you, do this, do this, do this. But for a small business that's trying to make it, and you don't have the domain knowledge of how to work in the federal space, it gets very difficult.
Right, because you're going through this perpetual learning curve, right?
Yeah.
And you got to pay the light bill.
You have to pay the light bill.
Right?
So that's where the commercial side helps us out. You know. But the federal side, absolutely, the people have been so welcoming and so sharing with their information and do this, do that.
So it's like they want you to, they want to help.
They want to help.
But there's
help.
Not a lot they can do. There's some... It's going to be a slow, tedious process, in the best of circumstances.
Yes, it is.
Right? You can't shortcut this.
No, you can't.
And like jump to the front of the line. You got to kind of just power through the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a process that has to be gone through. And it's like I said, I have met some wonderful people in this journey. Really. And they have become good friends. It's not only that.
Because you get to know them for so long. Until something happened.
That is true. Like you're constantly in communication with them.
Right.
And
they want you to do well.
They want you to.
But there's nothing really they can do. They can inch it along.
Yes, and that's the challenge. And, you know, that's why people who think that they want to go into the government space, they feel that, you know, that's the feedback I keep getting, that you, I've said to everybody, my middle name is Perseverance right now.
That's right, because things are moving at government speed.
Government speed. But, you know, the fiscal year is going to end in September. So there's a lot of contracts happening right now.
Oh, because now that they got to get it done in this calendar year, the fiscal year.
If they don't use their budgets, they lose it.
No one wants that.
Now is a good time. So I've been busy writing RFPs and looking at opportunities. And I think one of my greatest strengths is creating strategic partners. If I am not on a contracting vehicle, then I've created a bunch of partners out there. Because as a small business, I cannot be fulfilling all the domains.
Right.
Right. So I have certain knowledge, skills, domains that I am good at. So these partners I can bring in. And that's one thing about the government. They love small business to partner among themselves.
Right, because if somebody's already cracked the code, you can kind of go underneath them, right?
It's like a subcontracting.
That's exactly like Talladega. You have to draft. You can't win Talladega on your own. I'm sure you were just about to use that analogy yourself. I'm sorry for stealing your thunder. So what are those signals? What's the pain point that has me or my friends telling me, you got to talk to Indra? What's happening in my business that I need to be talking to you?
Well, my biggest challenge is I've been in this country since 1982, and technology is all that I have done in all these years. And my team also has together, I think have literally 100 plus years of expertise. Our challenge as a small business is getting an entry point at a client to prove ourselves. Mm-hmm. This is what we can do. This is the difference we can make.
But what is that pain point the client is having where they have to call you so that you can have that point, you know, that initial point of entry that you typically work with a client?
The pain point would be finding a hard-to-fill resource.
Okay,
there are technologies there are newer technologies that they don't have people that are skilled enough to perform. Or technologies that are legacy. The people have retired or reached in the 60s or no longer working.
The super user guy is leaving, and nobody knows
how to
run.
The one person who knows how to operate everything.
Has gone, retired, is at a beat somewhere. Right. So those are the two areas in which I think we add a lot of value.
So now do you come in and become my IT department, or do you just do a project to fix something that's broken?
It's fixing something that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So a lot of times these things, you know, the project creeps into other areas. Do you ever find that to happen?
Yes, absolutely.
That's job security for you, right?
Yes, absolutely. You start with a little project and then you say, okay, you know, maybe he needs
You fix this other thing.
And provide support. Or if I don't have the domain skill, I pass them on to another person that can help them.
So you have a bunch of trusted advisors that you can share with your client too, right? Because you just care about solving their problem, right?
Exactly. Because I think what you put out there comes back to you. And I'm great for, you know, if somebody helps me, I'll help somebody. And hopefully that somebody will help the next person that needs help.
So that's been a theme all day. This morning we were on Atlanta Business Radio Show, and two out of the three guests were talking at some length about how so much of their business comes from trusted advisors in their circle, and a great deal of their marketing energy effort and I guess dollars are just invested in cultivating those relationships instead of buying the billboard. You know, they're just really getting.
They're investing in their, their community,
right? And I think, Sage, you guys, that's how you guys work too, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have to build a great product that our customers are going to recommend to others. Absolutely.
Yeah, and other advisors. I think you mentioned earlier,
we've got a whole network of them. Yeah.
And if my personal accountant tells me you need Sage One, and I'm jumping on that, right?
It's a great endorsement. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, just an example. The other day, we were at a capability briefing at Fort Gordon. I don't know if the community knows this or not, but Fort Gordon is going to be the center of excellence for cybersecurity for the entire United States.
Really?
Yes.
This is breaking news.
No, it's all. You can Google it. You can Google it.
We don't have Google here.
No, you don't have Google.
Nobody knows how to use it.
And there is a huge, massive effort that's going to be happening. I'm on the board of AFSEA, Atlanta chapter, which is the Armed Forces Commission Communication and Electronic Association. And I go to the board meetings, and that's when all these people come in and talk about how the government is procuring, what the latest trends are.
Right.
And it was an unbelievable presentation to watch. And this guy was so smart and sharp. He actually went through the whole thing and explained how the Army is going to be moving. Everything around cybersecurity. The NSA has a presence down at Fort Garden. And
really?
if you drive up there, you see all these signs. Center of Excellence for Cybersecurity. They're going to have a couple of events in August and September around this. And so I met with that gentleman there, the small business officer. That's what you do as a small business. You know,
right. You got a network.
Got a network.
There's a small business officer?
Every agency, yes, there is a small business officer. Every agency, wow. Federal agency, has a small business officer.
That's very efficient.
He's a good friend. So you go meet them, and then they look at your capabilities, and then they pass you on
right.
to whatever procurement or opportunities that are coming down the road. So we met with him, and he said, you know, if you can get me this, 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 I will put you on that contracting vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And within 12 hours, I was able, because I have strategic partners, I was able to find an 8A hub zone company that had top security clearance for him.
She's drafted, just like I was telling you.
Yeah.
So I have awesome strategic partners. I have awesome mentors in town.
Right.
I have awesome advisors.
And that's the key to success in business, isn't it?
Having the right people around you.
Because you don't have to know everything. You just have to know somebody who knows everything, right?
Who knows what is needed by
right.
the client.
And then you can benefit by being this facilitator that brings them all together.
Yep.
So that's a good lesson for the listeners.
It's a marvelous lesson. I want to ask you one more thing before we wrap, because I know both through Sandra Hoffman and through having an opportunity to visit with you a little bit, you have a real commitment to the community. Speak to that a little bit about your work and your passion for community.
I have a degree in education, and I have always believed that education is the key to success in life. You can give a person, you know, the fish, he'll feed himself, but if you teach him how to fish, you don't have to worry about it. And education has always been my passion. I think I was extremely fortunate to have parents who sent me to private schools. I went to Catholic schools. I went to a Catholic college, all-girls school and all-girls college. It's never around a co-educational institution at all.
Is Mike the first guy you've met?
No.
I sure hope not.
Because it gets better. I'm just saying.
No disagreement.
So, you know, I'm fortunate that my parents gave me that level of education that I'm sitting over here 30 years later to be able to be on a radio show. I think that's pretty awesome. And I have always believed, over the years since we've been here, we've supported a bunch of kids. I come from Calcutta, city of Calcutta in India. And we have supported 10 kids from when they were really tiny over the years. And I think now two of them actually have jobs. So, and they would write letters and give their progress. And so we've been doing that. ASHA for Education is something that I would like to plug on this show.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Plug away.
We are, ASHA for Education helps different projects in India. And it's all, again, around education.
Mm-hmm.
One of the projects that I support strongly is the children of sex workers. We take them away from their environment, house them in a separate building with food and medicine and education so that they can try to give them
escape that lifestyle
and
right?
give them some way to sustain themselves. And now we are at the stage where we have a couple of people who've graduated, and we are looking at another school in town to get them work, either in a store or a clerical job, and teach them some basic computer skills so that they can sustain themselves and not have to go back to
right.
that. And we are having ASHA, and this I guess I can put a link on my website, but if you go to, we are having what is called a work an hour program. So if you make $20 an hour, you donate only that $20. What you make in an hour is what you donate for the
right.
next six,
yeah.
8 weeks. And we have been able to raise a lot of funds. We raised, I think, $45,000 last year.
Wow.
Because nobody
fantastic.
Has to go anywhere. We don't have to do any fundraising.
Right.
I've done
yeah.
a lot of fundraising and events in my life.
And that's a pain.
That's
right?
a pain because there's a lot of effort going into, you know, money spent on hosting the event and you don't know whether you're going to recover your cost, whether you're going to get the sponsors. So this is everything is online.
Again,
it's free.
Because you're a technologist, this is the most efficient way of doing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one thing. And the other thing is I'm also on the board of the Greater Alpharetta Technology Network. It is a new...
That's a new organization,
that's
right?
That's a new organization that's recently started. You guys know this. North 400 North Corridor is where all the technology companies are.
A lot of technology happening up there.
Yes. So this organization is helping. We're having an event on August 21st. It's at the Golf Club of Georgia in Alpharetta. And we're having the COO of Hi-Rez Studios. He's the guy who's done the gaming. He's got some gaming software.
Right.
I think you should have him on your radio.
Okay, make that happen.
Yeah.
You introduce me to him.
Absolutely, I'll do that. He's going to be the keynote speaker, and it's $10. If you're up in Alpharetta, I can... But that's another thing I would like to plug, is the GATN event on August 21st. It's at 5:30 to 7:30 at the Golf Club of Georgia and Alpharetta. Todd Harris, COO of Hi-Rez Studios, is going to be speaking. And the mayor comes, the mayor of Alpharetta.
Yeah, no, they're very supportive of technology, obviously.
Yes.
And they're trying to make that new cluster up there with all the technology going on.
Yeah. For our launch event, we had David Cummings.
Yeah.
You know David Cummings?
Atlanta Tech Village.
Tech Village. So he was our keynote speaker for the launch event.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about being on that board, trying to get this event going. And
man, you got a lot going on.
See, Mike, that's why you can't get a hold of these people.
Right. No wonder you can't.
I feel like I'm on vacation.
Then, of course, I have my other boards that I do, other nonprofit stuff. And I do my nonprofit in the early mornings, like from 6 to 8, whatever emails and calls that have to happen. And after hours is when I do the other stuff.
And then the rest of the day you spend trying to get government work.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to target CDC. It's been a really...
Well, interesting. Can't you just show up there and start knocking on doors? They don't like that?
Act like you have something?
Believe me, people are amazed as to my persistence and diligence.
Look, it seems to have paid off. So now if somebody wants to learn more, if they go to your website, right, and I'm sure that you link to all these other activities on there as well.
Yes.
So what's the website?
The website is www.xiverti.com, xiverti.com.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our friends at Band of Coders. We thank you for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next week on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.